Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought two wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Danny and Dusty.
Merengatang is going to be a thing.
You're not coining anything new.
With Danny Meringue and Dusty, the Fan Man Hera.
All throws with monkey sounds in there and called good.
The old Danny Meringue pie.
Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and 1080.
Yeah, this is going to be awesome.
The Fan.
Good afternoon!
There we go.
Welcome in.
The wonders of working remotely.
Yeah. I'm down in Eugene today. It is Wednesday during football season, so that means I am down in Eugene. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to remember. We got to push all those buttons, make sure all them buttons are up.
I got a lot of buttons to push.
You got a lot of buttons to push. Yeah. It's not in your muscle memory right now. How's everybody doing today? Happy Wednesday.
Doing good.
Yeah?
Doing good.
Yeah. We all just plugging right along today?
I mean, yeah. Come on. it's, you know, everybody's feeling a certain kind of way, one way or the other, after the election last night. And I'm in the world where I hate everyone, so it works for me.
Yeah, that's the most meringue take we could have had on that. You do hate everyone.
I've said on Twitter for God knows how long, I hate your politics. Yes, you specifically. If you think I'm talking to you, yes, yours. I just, you know, everybody's
that is fair.
Everybody's entitled to their own thing. I got into it a little bit when I got out of the Air Force, and then I realized how much I absolutely hated every last bit of it. And hard pass. Hard pass.
Yeah, hard pass on all of it. Hard pass on all of it right now. We woke up today. The world it turns on no matter which way. You know, that's usually how these things work, America. All right, so we're doing well. We're doing well. Last night was a weird night. The only thing going on being Maction football.
You know, it's actually funny. I'm sitting there like,
welcome to heaven, people.
Right? I'm sitting there going, I don't want to watch the election coverage. Like, I just, and then I'm flipping through and I'm like, there's nothing else on. So I ended up putting the election coverage on and then having, I put it on like I have right there here in the studio, the two screens. I muted the election coverage and turned on Maction.
That's what I'm talking about.
I had the volume from Maction going over. And then I rotated over and I fired up my Xbox and I hopped on some 2K and just watched the world burn.
This is how people get turned on to the beauty and the prestige of the Mac.
This is how people get turned on.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's it. Because we had Bowling Green versus Central Michigan, huh? Who doesn't love
Sign
that
me
matchup?
Up, ladies and gentlemen.
Bowling Green versus Central Michigan. And then Miami of Ohio at Ball State. Come on! Football gods smiling down on us. And today, you get Northern Illinois, which apparently is so good that they kept Notre Dame in the top 10 of the initial college football playoff rankings.
And we have so many things to cut, slice and dice there.
You know, don't worry about the fact that they've only won one MAC game. I think that shows the power of the MAC.
Yeah.
And
one could even say it's the return of the MAC.
That's right. Notre Dame
Return of the MAC.
Notre Dame is 7-1 with a loss to Northern Illinois. And they get more credit than Boise State, which their one loss is 3 points on the road to the college football playoffs number one team in the country, yeah. Oregon.
In a very tightly contested game. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense.
With a Heisman Trophy candidate on it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that...
And all the character in the world, and like the one group of five school in the entire country that everybody would probably tune in for.
Yeah. But come on. Again... That's the power of the Mac. That's how Northern Illinois is so good.
Can we talk about that in a world where TV is such a critical factor?
We all saw that game. Yeah. Oh.
But I've been saying like Boise State is such like a like. Is there a better darling in college football than Boise State?
Indiana.
No, I'm saying not just this year, general, like.
Yeah, Boise the little State, engine like, that could story.
Yeah, and they do it like every 5 years, where you're just like, yeah, like that's the one. And so, and I mean, that was the Fiesta Bowl against Oklahoma.
Yep.
Like, how many people watched that game? I want to say it was like wasn't it like 14 million? I want to say that was like an insanely watched game.
Yeah, I don't know.
Whatever reason, I have that number burned into my head, and I just like, if you're gonna say that the college football is all about the money, and it is, and it's fine. Yeah. I don't care. Why would you not include the little engine that could? Because, like, there's nothing America loves more than the little engine that could.
Yeah, no, you're right on that. I mean, this is a Boise State team. I mean, it used to be a junior college. It was Boise Junior College. That's where Dave Wilcox, NFL Hall of Famer, University of Oregon, he went to Boise State. Or Boise Junior College back in the day. And then they went from a junior college to an NAIA school, and then NAIA to joining the Big Sky. And Big Sky went Division II at the time, and then Division I, and then they go up to the FBS. It is like literally the rags to riches college story. Where you can't start much lower than being a junior college in Boise, Idaho.
Yeah. JMU's the only one who's close.
1950s and 60s. Then you go play in the NAIA, which is the level I played at it. Mm. So that gives you a level of play there, where if anybody wants to know what the NAIA is, it's the NCAA without rules.
Yeehaw!
You know, like, it is the wild, wild west of 4-year college football. And then they go, all right, we've had enough here. We're going to go D2 and then FCS, 1AA when they were there. And then we're going to go play with the big boys. And they've won it every single turn. It's incredible. It is incredible. So I think they probably are that. They are that little engine that could love story in the world of college football. Yeah. Because JMU's private. This is a public school.
Yeah. And again, as I said, JMU's the only one even comes close, like the ascension in the modern era.
Yeah, the only one that may... The school on a similar path in trajectory is... it's now called Utah Tech.
Mm.
Utah Tech is formerly Dixie State.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, you probably want to get away from that name.
That was a junior college that turned into...
Well, I think, isn't there a Dixie, NAIA. Utah?
Oh, that's why they went...
Yeah,
no,
I believe there's a Dixie, Utah.
No. There's a reason they want to get away from that Dixie name. They're in St. George, which, for those that don't know, that's it's a rather white town.
Mm.
Even more white than usual when we're talking about Utah.
Utah.
I have a buddy from there.
We're talking like translucent.
Well, he may or may not have had family members that had certain tattoos that. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Well, this conversation took a turn.
Yeah.
So Utah Tech is on that same path because they went FCS and now, I think they're going to the FBS. Might. Already try to be there. Boise State is that story. Boise State is currently 12th in the college football playoff. We'll talk about that and all the offshoots of the college football playoff and the initial rankings that came out last night. It was kind of chalky, about what we expected. And I think that Dave Bartu, I think he nailed it, didn't he?
He did to an extent. And actually, I'm glad you brought that up, because Bartu had a couple things last night where he was not thrilled with how apparently the CFP has adjusted their strength of schedule.
No, and it is strength of record.
Is that what it was? Strength of record.
Okay, crazy.
Yeah, yeah, and he for the most part, the formula that they use at CFP Metrics did do really well, but some of the math behind things, they said they were going to be more transparent, and apparently they weren't, because some things have changed that they did not disclose.
Yep, that will be interesting to see kind of how this all plays out. If you are a fan of Oregon, last night was about expected and good for you. Everybody else, the bracket and the way that a bracket will play out, I think the playoff committee was setting themselves up for a can't fail situation here. And this is something that we're all going to have to learn together, right? Where other teams are ranked, how other teams are ranked, and how that will feed into what a 12-team playoff will look like. Because if you look at it right now, everybody was like, this is just going to be nothing but the Big Ten and SEC postseason. Yep, pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pretty much. That's how this thing is shaking out with the first rankings.
What we all knew was actually going to happen, they can no longer hide.
Oh, no way. We also got a lot of NFL stuff that we need to get to today. Big picture, little picture. One franchise is in their fillings right now, and they can't even hide it. I mean, it's the worst attempt at trying to hide it I think I've ever seen. And then we got a lot of NBA to get to today as well, because this is a horrible, horrible year for the Blazers not to have the Milwaukee Bucks first-round pick. Why did they know that the 2025 pick would be one that the Blazers shouldn't have?
Yeah, apparently.
What is going on here?
That was one that was owed already to New Orleans or Brooklyn, but it has a bunch of protections on it. And then a little bit later in the show, I went full nerd.
You?
Yeah.
Why?
I had a Patreon that I posted up last night. I won't go into all of it because that kind of defeats the purpose. But the Blazers are actually starting to generate an identity. Like a real one.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
All right.
So I've got some numbers to back that up, too.
Of course, it is Wrestling Wednesday, and Kevin, the Orange O guy, he has already tweeted at us, it's Wrestling Wednesday. So this day just got a whole heck of a lot better, and we're going to make it better for you. All right. Let's start with the college football playoff. The initial rankings are out. What can we learn? What did we learn from the first iteration of a college football playoff rankings leading into a 12-team playoff? Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, the College Football Playoff Committee unveiled their initial rankings for a 12-team playoff and what that may look like in the new era of college football. And I'm really excited to see how all of this plays out. I am interested in how they will navigate 12 teams and this seeding and what these rankings will look like. Their job is to just put out who they believe the 12 best teams in the country are right now, right?
Indeed.
And do it on a week-to-week basis. And if you go off of what these initial rankings look like, the metrics will tell you this is pretty much it, right? I mean, this is what it mirrors the AP poll. It mirrors the coaches poll fairly closely. I think if you look at it in the top 12, the only discrepancy is Ohio State and Georgia being flip-flopped, where the traditional polls of the AP and the coaches, they have Georgia 2. The College Football Playoff Committee has Ohio State at number 2. Other than that, it's pretty chalk all the way to 13, one spot beyond where this 12-team playoff will reside. So it's not like there's a bunch of panic in the streets by anybody, because it's what we all thought it would kind of look like, you know?
The whole idea of getting the College Football Playoff was so that we could get to – we could stop doing the whole, you know, four-team list of, but this team got left out, and this team got left out, and this team got left out. And if you get to 12, it's a lot like, for me, when you talk about the NCAA tournament expanding from 64 to 72, 72 to 80. It's like, okay, at some point in time, you have to have a cutoff, because there's a realistic point in this. And there's some certain trade-offs, obviously, in basketball and football that aren't the same. But when you're looking at what they did and how they did it, I think everybody came to the same general conclusions. But the same point, as we kind of alluded to in the opening, where are they kind of stuck Boise in all of this? I was kind of, And the same thing with Penn State. I was kind of like, well,
I wasn't surprised by where Boise is.
Really? Why not?
No. Because, all right, what is their best win on their record?
I think we did this yesterday, right? It was
the best win for Boise State right now is Washington State.
Yeah.
It's Washington State.
Who's what, 21st?
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think you can look at every other team, and they have a more quality win, or they are unbeaten, right? I mean, we can knock, you know, Notre Dame all we want right now, but Notre Dame, their one loss to Northern Illinois, which is tongue-in-cheek, they've also beaten Texas A&M, albeit it was in week one, right?
And that game was horrendous.
They also have a win over Louisville. So they've got two wins over top 25 teams in the playoff committee's eyes. I think that not all wins are created equal, not all losses are created equal, but you can look at it and you could say they've played a tougher schedule than Boise State. They have one blemish, and I do think the way Boise State's loss came is a hell of a lot different than what Notre Dame's looks like, but they don't take, you know, or they're not supposed to, as it were, take into consideration, you know, the beauty of a win or beauty of a loss, right? Injuries are taken into consideration in all of the losses that a team will have. And so I wasn't surprised.
Florida State's somewhere screaming right now.
What I thought, but injuries, that was why Jordan Travis's injury last year is what held Florida State out of the 4-team playoff.
And they got their asses kicked.
Yeah. And so when you think of it in those terms, like, injuries play a massive factor in all of this. But I think for Boise State, though, where they're at 12, nothing changes in the fact that they're standing as having a seat at the table. They will have that. Hell, the way that this top 12 broke out, they could be hosting a playoff game. If BYU suffers a loss, they could be – Boise State is in a position – to host, or get, excuse me, not host, get a first round bye. Not host, get a first round bye.
Look, I don't think that's actually going to happen. It would be cool if it did.
Well, they won't let it happen.
No, but.
Which is dumb, because even if they deserve it, yes, they're not going to let it happen.
They are 5 spots ahead of Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
They are 7 spots ahead of Kansas State, 8 spots ahead of Colorado. If they go through the rest of their schedule and they are impressive in the way that they win, and they have a high game control metric, if they are just steamrolling through teams, they're going to get some style points down the stretch because they're going to need to get style points down the stretch. I mean, I wouldn't be all that surprised if that were to happen, because who the hell knows in the Big 12? How many good teams are there in the Big 12 right now? There's ranked teams.
Yeah.
How many of them are good?
It's super inconsistent.
Is the Big 12 right now even what the Pac-12 had been regarded as the last several seasons?
No, exactly.
So why is it that all of a sudden, like, their conference champion deserves a spot in this top four? And I'll say the same for the ACC. Because neither one of them, I don't believe, are the same as even parallel to what the Pac-12 was last season.
Your top 12 right now are Oregon 1, Ohio State 2, Georgia 3, Miami sitting at 4th, Texas 5th, Penn State 6th, Tennessee 7th, Indiana 8th, BYU 9th, Notre Dame is 10th, Alabama's 11th, and Boise State is 12th. The next four that would be in the, you know, that first four out would be SMU, Texas A&M, LSU, and Ole Miss. Okay. This weekend, you guys know what game is coming up this weekend?
What do we got?
You have got an eliminator game between Alabama and LSU.
Oh, there you go.
Alabama, who's already got two losses?
Alabama.
And LSU.
And LSU. It's an eliminator game right there, full stop. Whoever loses that, you lose your chance at going to the college football playoff.
And I think one thing that it is maybe underappreciated here and not talked about enough is that you've got your top two spots in the CFP rankings coming from the same conference.
We'll get to that.
But okay.
Texas A&M also has an eliminator game against Texas coming up at the end of the year, right? They suffer their third loss of the year. They're out of it.
They gone.
Okay, and now you're sitting there and you're looking at these schedules and you're looking at these slates and you're looking at these teams and saying, this is why Boise State is actually in a really damn good spot, because SMU coming up, they've got three more games: Boston College, Virginia, Cal. Right? I mean, I don't know how overwhelming of favorites they would be, but then they would have a conference championship game where a two-loss ACC team would not get in. But if they win the conference, now you're looking at it going, all right, they're already behind Boise State. Are they going to be able to make that jump up? Their win would be over a Miami team, and if Miami's undefeated at that point, then you go, yeah, they would be deserving of jumping up and being a team that would get a first-round bye. But I think the Big 12 is the big question mark that everybody has, because BYU is sitting there, and they have wins over ranked opponents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, they are undefeated right now, but in their games, they got four left: Utah, Kansas, Arizona State, Houston. There are three of those four games right now. You could say, feasibly, could they stub their toe?
There's some landmines in there for sure.
There are. There definitely are, because it's really hard to go undefeated. It is insanely hard to go undefeated over the course of a college football season. And if Boise State has one loss, and that one loss is to Oregon on the road early in the year, I don't think it's out of the question to think Boise State could be a team that is hosting, or is a first-round bye, and they could go either first-round bye or on the road. And in the first round of the playoffs.
That's the thing that I don't like about this. I think it's pretty unlikely that even if they run the table and everything works out in their favor, that they end up as the four seed and getting that first round bye. But they should be in consideration for getting the at-home bid in the first round. That's the thing that bothers me. It's like you're saying either they're good enough to be a top four seed, or if somebody else boots them, they get bumped all the way to the back of the line. It's like, no. Why are they not in consideration for one of the other bids? Because that, in all reality, they should be a 5-8 team. That's where they should be. I don't think if you're questioning that right now, if I don't know, number one, how you can. Number two, if they get through everything else and they're still a one loss team, they've got a team that you saw hang with Oregon. Like that, I don't care how early in the season it was, you've seen them stand up to a perennial or a title contending level team this year. So even if you don't have enough or a lot of film on it, or you don't have a lot of opportunities, they also, you know, go toe-to-toe with Washington State, and Jenty went nuts there, too. So it's like, it's not like they're just beating up on everybody else. So why not avoid the BCS style of, well, the computer's going to decide this, and we know they're just going to, you know, back then, the manipulation of how they did it, it ended up a little bit weird. But instead, why don't we do the thing that we should do and put them exactly where they need to be, as opposed to, well, you know, there's this justification for this, that, and the other, because the other big boys at the tables are going to get pissed off.
Okay. Which team do you rip one of those 5 through 8 slots away from, then?
As that, it sits right now?
That is the question, though.
And, Penn State. And
it's Penn State, because Texas is one of the most... You watch Texas and you say... That is one of the most talented teams in the country.
I still think
30-15 to Georgia. You know, some of their wins that they were hanging their hat on early have not turned out to be great wins, quality wins. See Michigan, but they'll have an opportunity at the end of the year to get one against Texas A&M, and at the end of the year means a whole heck of a lot more than what happens at the beginning of the year.
And an SEC title game.
Tennessee, I think you watch Tennessee and you go, "Yep, that's one of the best teams in the country." Indiana, currently unbeaten right now. We're going to find out a lot about Indiana over the next couple of weeks. They get Michigan and Ohio State in their next two games. So we'll see kind of where Indiana is. And those are, you know, your 5 through 8. And that's the hard part for this is, all right, who do you kick to the curb then? And if
for me, it's
Penn
very clearly
State,
Penn State.
I mean... Penn State went toe-to-toe with Ohio State. Granted, it was at home, but it took a goal line stand for Ohio State to escape that game. And
if you want to play the by proxy game, Boise State stood toe-to-toe with Oregon on the road.
Are we doing the whole transitive property
100%.
Thing?
Yeah. But if we're saying that Penn State stood up against Ohio State, Boise State stood up to Oregon just the same way that Ohio State did to Oregon.
And I think that this is what the committee is taking into account, and this is what they should take into account, too. How different is that Oregon team that we see now than they were then?
Sure.
Right?
Because not every team's the same at the beginning of the season as they are at the end.
No. Well, and there was a change at halftime of that game against Boise State.
On the offensive line.
Where they moved Poncho Laulu to center. They moved Marcus Harper to right guard and put Nashad Strother in at left guard. Oregon ran for 93 yards on Boise State in that second half, right? And it looked like a different offense, and they have been a different offense since that moment of halftime. You take that, is that going to be taken into consideration of, all right, what would it look like now if we put this Oregon team on the field with Boise State? And that's the really hard part about evaluating Boise State. I still think there's a pathway for them to get a first-round bye. But I think the reality of it is these other teams are going to have measuring stick games down the stretch where we are going to see them prove that, hey, we may not win the conference and get a first-round bye, but at the same time, we're deserving of hosting as well. And unfortunately for Boise State, that game doesn't exist for them moving forward.
No, that's, I mean, by no fault of their own, in the same way that Indiana is, you know, not played anybody until the end of the season.
And just boat racing all of those other teams.
It's like,
right?
It's like, what else do you want us to do if you're Indiana or if you're Boise State? Like, what, we have a running back who's damn near about ready to break Barry Sanders' all-time rushing record. We went toe-to-toe with Oregon. And he performed there. He's been an absolute monster the entire season. Everybody you put in front of us were running over. And they're kind of mirror images of each other in a sense. And just obviously stylistically different. But the idea of, like, you've put everything in front of us and we've done everything you've expected of us. And then some, I think, when you're talking about Indiana. If Indiana goes through and handles business, like, here's the strange hypothetical. What happens if Indiana beats Michigan and Ohio State? Where does Ohio State end up in all this? Where does Boise State end up in all this? Like, they have the one to be the massive, massive, massive disruptor.
No doubt about it. And then they, you know, they win the Big Ten championship game. They get a, they'll get a bye. And they'll probably be the number one team in the country.
Right? Like if they ran the table,
Ohio State,
right?
And Oregon in the last month of the season.
Yeah. And at that point in time, who's got better wins than that?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
Does Ohio State miss the playoff if they lose to Indiana?
I think it depends on how they look in it.
Well, that'd be lost two.
Lost two,
correct?
Yeah.
That'd be
no,
lost
two. I don't think they will.
I think that
no.
you
Well,
can
now you're putting
them.
In three teams for the Big Ten, and one of them's a two-loss team?
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
Because
yeah.
Who else are you putting in?
What if Penn State's there with only one loss?
They get in, too.
So
right now,
four Big Ten teams and one with one of them with two losses?
There's 12 spots.
Have you seen the top 12?
I mean, I get it, but like we're talking about putting like we're fighting over one SEC team here, and it's like I don't know, man. That's
look, if you don't think there's gonna be three to four teams each from the Big Ten or the SEC, like I think there'd be three to four from each league.
Wait, who are we fighting over one SEC team? Because right now
Alabama's the
SEC.
Well, I'm saying the one two loss team.
Yeah, I don't think there's really a fight over that. The eliminator is going to be, you know, that Alabama LSU game. Three losses, you're out, right? But if Alabama loses that game to LSU this weekend, guess who replaces them? LSU.
Yeah, because SMU and Miami, you would have a title game where somebody would have to lose there, and that would be the disruptor there. Yeah, I wasn't considering the ACC part of that because I was thinking SMU would be a team that could move in, but they're obviously they would either be a two loss team or Miami would have a loss.
Look,
and you'd have
and I think
fall
you're
back
gonna
there.
You're gonna have probably one Big 12 team and one ACC team.
The crazy part about what this looked like after ranking number one is what the actual bracket will look like because the bracket is different than the rankings. We'll get to that after Rust with SportsCenter. All right, the difference in what the top 12 of the college football playoff rankings and what a bracket would look like are vastly different because, remember, the top four seeds that get a bye in the 12-team college football playoff are not the same as the top four teams. It is the four highest-ranked conference champions that will get a first-round bye in the 12-team playoff. And if you look at the 12 in the way they were ranked, Oregon, Ohio State, Georgia, Miami as your top four. Two of those are from the same conference. So then you got to find, all right, where is the next highest ranked team from another conference? And then you go through Texas, Penn State, Tennessee, Indiana. Those are 5 through 8. Still don't see another team from a different conference because Big Ten and the SEC are 5 through 8. Then you go 9 through 12. It is BYU, Notre Dame, Alabama, Boise State. BYU is 9th. They would get a first-round bye if the playoffs started today because your top four seeds getting a bye would be Oregon as the 1 seed. Georgia would be the 2 seed because in this ranking, Ohio State would not be a conference champ, so they could not be eligible for a bye. 3, Miami. 4 would be BYU. And this is where it gets hairy here because the 5 seed is now Ohio State. The team that the committee believes is the number 2 team in the country would be the 5th overall seed, which means that you would have a quarterfinal matchup. A semifinal matchup between the number 1 seed, Oregon at this time, and the 5 seed, which is the number 2 ranked team in Ohio State. It's usually not how brackets would work out. Your matchups would be 5-12, Ohio State, Boise State. 6-11 is Texas hosting Alabama. 7-10 matchup has Notre Dame going to Penn State with Indiana hosting Tennessee in an 8-9 matchup with a chance to meet the Ducks in a bowl game.
Yeah, it's thinking about the – it's not just the, you know, where you are in the seeding but also where you fall in the bracket. Do you feel like there should be some consideration to what the potential matchups look like and what the potential pipelines could end up being and whether or not they're more favorable or basically doing some bracketology understanding like, okay, if you get this team here and this team here, because they've already said that they aren't going to consider any potential rematches in the sense of like if Ohio State ends up in the same bracket as Oregon, they don't care.
Yeah, like if Ohio State ends up as the 8 seed or the 9 seed, yeah, they would not take that into under consideration as a potential second round matchup.
Yeah, yeah. They just don't care. They're like, oh, well, it is what it is. My counter to that is, but why? Like, well, why don't we make this make the most sense possible? Like, isn't that the point of doing this? Like, I get it, the top four, you want to have the first round buys, but also, like, let's make this, like, we have this. Let's make this fun. Like, let's say somehow, some way, in one world or another, that we all look at Boise State and we go, we think that's the seventh or eighth best team in the country. Shouldn't they be rewarded with a bracket that kind of reflects that, as opposed to having to go through, like, oh, we're going to put Georgia. Like, that's going to be their first round matchup. I was like, whoa. Why isn't the team that failed, that was basically at the back of the bracket, they're like, well, that's actually another SEC team, and so we're trying to, it's like, no. Why don't we reward this to where the whole point of seeding is to make it better and more beneficial to being a top seed or a higher seed?
Well, I think that with this being the initial rankings, what we are seeing right now, this bracket, it's not going to look anything like it.
No.
Because of the head-to-heads that are still to play. If Ohio State goes and waxes Indiana and they put that to bed, watch Indiana start taking a big-time tumble down.
Yes.
Right? Because it'd be like, well, Indiana, the whole Indiana hasn't played anybody thing. I still think that that's a program that, if you are taking care of the business the way you are, you should be ranked very high. But if they go and they just get run off the field by Ohio State, you know, you could see them go spiral on down. One loss and only one loss, that still gets them into the playoff, though. Mm-hmm. But they would go from hosting Tennessee in the first round
to all the way on the back
to
end,
being on the road somewhere. Lord knows where that would be. So that, you have that game. Tennessee, they still have got a big game. Who do they have left on their schedule? I think Tennessee has Georgia. Tennessee has Georgia the week that Oregon goes to Wisconsin. So next week, Tennessee and Georgia play. Look, the outcome of that game is going to dictate how this looks in a massive way.
And don't forget, they have Vanderbilt to close the season.
Yeah, Vandy, baby, drop the anchor. So, you know, Texas still has a game against Texas A&M where they, you know, could get caught on the chin. I mean, there's still plenty of opportunities for all of these teams to kind of – this will sort itself out to a degree. And who the hell knows if an upset happens, right? We're talking about the top 15, top 25 matchups that are still in front of these teams. What if, you know, Notre Dame gets caught on the chin this week against Georgia Tech, right? What if Georgia Tech just runs the damn ball and they go in and they pull out a win against Notre Dame? I mean, bye-bye Irish. The only way you're getting in with two losses and one of them being to, oh, I don't know, Northern Illinois and then an unranked Georgia Tech.
Run the ball.
I mean, that is,
like, I didn't do
that's
that.
Where
did,
I just
did
go.
That? Does Dusty have his hotkeys up?
That.
You no. did. Oh, he got his laptop
got my
up.
Hotkeys up. Yep, I got my run the damn ball, run the bow. If that happens, this game changes, or this bracket looks completely different. And so I know that there's panic. We're all trying to sort it out because it's brand new, but a lot of this is going to fall into place on its own. The weird thing that will happen, what do you do if conference championship weekend, say Boise State's undefeated, they're the 12th ranked team in the country, they get beat by Colorado State, what happens to Boise then in a Mountain West championship
game? Yeah, are we looking at Army as the group of five?
I don't. Well, Army's 25th right now, so probably not.
puts them in a weird spot.
Yeah, I mean, if Miami is unbeaten and they go into their conference championship game and
they fumble.
SMU puts the screws to them, you know, and then you're going, see, they were flirting with disaster. They're really not that good. And then do they drop from like fourth right now all the way out? Yeah. I mean, who the heck knows what's going to happen in the Big 12 with their conference championship game and the SEC with theirs, where we don't know, have any earthly idea what teams will be standing in either one of those conferences at the end of the regular season for the conference championship week. So because right now, in the Big 12, Iowa, Colorado, Kansas State, Texas Tech, Cincinnati, Arizona State, West Virginia. Every single one of those teams has a chance to play in the Big 12 championship game. Seven.
That's a lot.
Seven. All right. Your thoughts on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver Ford text line. This is Danny and Dusty on The Fan. Sorry, I sounded like a robot, everybody.
Oh, there you go. You sound almost so much better now.
We have reconnected. We have reconnected. Some text on the Vancouver Ford text line, wrapping up our college football playoff initial rankings. If BYU goes undefeated but loses in the Big 12 title game to a three-loss whatever team, curious how that would be viewed.
I'm curious. You're going robot on us again, unfortunately. Yeah, it's cutting in and out. That's the wonders of remote. But yeah, just in case anybody didn't clear it, this is a question that popped up on the Vancouver text line. I am interested by this one. BYU goes undefeated, loses in a Big 12 title game to a team that stumbles its way there. I don't know how you can come out of that if you're BYU and be safe, because then you're not technically the conference champion. And it's kind of like this ugly, weird place for you to end up. But at the same time, can you look, the Big 12, I think, has been pretty disappointing this year. Obviously, Utah was the darling coming into the season. Cam Rising's injury and other injuries.
Well, it's because they went the way of the Pac-12, basically, and reloaded another, you know, pseudo Mountain West.
I mean, but
Conference USA.
I think they're better than that. I mean, I honestly do. Like,
are they?
Yeah, I mean, Utah's an incredibly good program. Colorado is
on a down year.
Yeah, but again, you've got Kansas State. You've got Iowa State. You've got some programs in that conference who I think are. I mean, we are not that far removed from Baylor being like a quasi national power. You know what I mean? Like, it's. It's not a conference.
We're not far enough away.
Like, I'm just saying, like, there are plenty of teams in that conference, and BYU is a good team. Like, you take a look at where they're at, and part of me wants to be like, yeah, I mean, not everybody else is good there. But if we're doing that to BYU, we'd have to do the same thing to Boise State, because they're playing in a conference that isn't that good.
Yeah.
And if you, and like, as much as I would love to go, ha ha, and point at the team that gets the conference title team.
Your mom's a convict.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Like, you lost to a three-loss nerd school. Man, you know what I mean? Like, it's funny, but I don't know how you look at that and go, yeah, if we're going to tell them no, but we're going to tell the guys in the Smurf turf yes.
Well, but I really... we are clearly no longer a Power 5 thing because the Pac-12 went away. And I think with the way that some of the teams went away from the Big 12 and the ACC and whatnot, I think... Look, we're a Power 2, and that's it. We're a Power 2.
I mean, we were always heading down this path.
We're a Power 2, and now we're a group of, what, 7? Is that what it is? Now a group of 7? Something like that? Where that includes the Big 12 and the ACC and the Mountain West and such.
You're going from the group of 5.
I think we're a Power 2 and a group of, like, 7.
You know what, though?
Hey, non-robot, welcome back.
If Carnage does happen with Boise State... It's not Army, it's Washington State that gets in.
Oh.
Yeah, because Army, I mean...
what if Washington State got in?
But what?
No, they'd have to be a top 12. They'd have to... You have to be... I think you have to win your conference championship game.
Let's say Army goes undefeated and does, you know, beats Navy twice down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
Do they get bumped up?
Well, they'd have to.
Right.
Army?
Yeah.
No, they quite literally would have to. I mean, yeah, but could find themselves with the carnage that could happen in front of them, start inching their way up the polls, because they're at 21 right now. You'd have to assume that the fallout of the Big 12 and just the conference games that'll happen in front of them, they'll just start chipping away and climbing up. And if LSU has three losses or Alabama has three losses and Washington State's sitting there at one, you just start climbing your way back up. So Cougs' only loss is to Boise State right now. Go Cougs! I want the Cougs to crash the party.
And again, your one loss is to a team who's, we're going transitive property, is a one loss on the road to Oregon. And I think that I'm rooting for the absolute most insane level of chaos. Like, let's see how many things we can throw into the fan at one time and see what comes out.
Yeah.
In the first year of the college football playoff, I want it to be the most difficult process imaginable. I want this to be like an IT
beta test. They'd have to be one of the five highest-ranked conference champions.
Mm-hmm.
And if the Mountain West tumbles and Army is still below them, Cougs could do it. Cougs could do it.
Win or lose, Cougs still booze.
That's right, because the other team in the, right now, currently, the other team in the mix here from the Mountain West would be UNLV, but Colorado State is ahead of them, I think, just due to tiebreakers in the Mountain West standings, and that'll sort itself out over the last handful of weeks, because Colorado State is currently unbeaten in conference play. They are a perfect 4-0, and they do not play UNLV. Their final three games are Wyoming, Fresno, and Utah State. And if you've been following along with your Mountain West, Fresno State is probably the best out of them at 3-2 with maybe Wyoming. Utah State is not good at all. So
no.
That could ruin things for another ranked win or quality win for Boise State if the Mountain West Championship game is against Colorado State, which is not getting any love from anybody anywhere because of the way they played in the non-conference. So I'm for it all. I'm here for it. And I can't wait to see what develops. Keep your feedback coming down the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Your dollar goes further at Vancouver Ford. They treat you right before, during, and after the sale online at VancouverFord.com. Danny, you did a nerd dive on it. Are the Blazers forming an identity? Next on The Fan.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.